sugyas, not just parashas, sugyas. I like to focus on this year something we have not talked about for many, many years, and that is the sugya of Seita. In Perek Hei, Pasuk Choftes, the Torah goes to the extent and calls it a Torah. Zois Torah Sakinolos. This is the Torah of Kinolos. This is a Torah of Kinos. This is not just another din. This is not just another halacha. This is a Torah. This has the respect of an entire spectrum of halachas. If one learns this parasha properly, if one understands the motives, one understands the results of a deviation, the results of how clarity can pull one back, then one's understood a whole chelik of the Torah that the Torah calls the Torah Sakinos. This parasha is very, very unique. The Ramban points out, the Ramban says in Parasha Seita, he says, "Ein bekol mishpatei ha-Torah." There's nothing else within the mishpatei ha-Torah, which means the laws or the way the Torah is fulfilled. Dovli tolu benes, something that is reliant upon a nes. Zulasi ha-inin hazeh. Besides this concept of Seita, shuhu pele benes kavua. This is an ongoing and incredible mystery. It's a pele, it's an amazing factor. Shiyasi v'Yisrael that can be done to Klal Yisrael, but Yosim Rubam Oisim Rosim Shemokim when Klal Yisrael do the Rotzon Hashem. Now the Kodesh Baruch Hu hides behind Teva. Kodesh Baruch Hu hides behind the Metzias of the world, of how nature works. And in certain instances, Kodesh Baruch Hu changes around everything in order to identify the worth of marriage. Rishon Shafal here speaks about it in length, and he says that the whole parasha of Seita is showing just how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about marriage, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to change all the laws of nature that he hides behind in order that it should be schar v'onesh in the world, just in order that this rocky marriage should have some kind of future. And we're not talking about a marriage between two gedolei ador. We're not talking about the marriage between a man who's a gadol hador and his wife who is mamish at tzedekis of town. We're talking about a woman who has reason to suspect that she is misbehaving, that she's being disloyal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to put everything on hold to change around the whole teva on an ongoing basis, not just once in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, on an ongoing basis in order to ensure that this marriage has a future, that this marriage can continue. What do you mean continue? Throw her out, get rid of her. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his marriage to continue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change around Metzias. It's even brought down in the Chidah. And the Chidah brought down the Maisa of the Chidah. That was a time where this Maisa of Seita, a woman came who was suspected by her husband of misbehaving, being disloyal. And the Chidah read through this parasha, and everything in the parasha actually happened to her. Exactly what the parasha talks about, which means it wasn't something that dafka took place then. It happened even in times recently, much more recently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maisim nisim v'niflos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the world that we never see in order to keep this marriage in place. Let's go back. Let's go work through this parasha. Let's understand a little bit exactly what happened over here. Beginning the parasha, the pasuk says, "Vedaber Hashem Moshe lemo." This is Perek Hey, pasuk Yudalef. Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael, matalem ish ish. Ish ish, we'll see what that means. Ish ish, every man. Ki siste ishtoi, umaloi bo mal. Ki siste ish, what's ki siste ishtoi mean? If his wife, sister, what's the lashon of sister? Shaita. Yeah? She became a shaita, she became foolish. Rashi learns from sister ishtoi means, Ein amenafim noyafim, a person is not dusnus, adshatikonis behem ruach shtus. Unless a person actually does a ruach shtus. A Rambam, if you look in the Rambam, Hilchus Seita, it's actually Hilchus Seita. Like it's a sian. If you look at that translation, it looks like Hilchus Seita. A lochel of a Seita. Yeah? So here it's a lotion of Seita, also it's a lotion of listoir mehaderech. Lesate. Lesate means to deviate. Losum in haderech. The Pasuk says, Sotim me'elov, losu mederech hamusa, to deviate. In other words, this word of sister is to deviate, to go off the derech, or to become foolish. So I'd like to focus on those two points. Why is it that with this particular case do we call it a deviation? We call it a seita. A woman who does illegitimate, has an outside extramarital relationship, is called a Saita, a person who has gone off the Derech. Why is it not the case if a person has avoided Zorah, they've gone off the Derech? If a person breaks Shabbos, they've gone off the Derech. Why is it when it comes to a Saita that it seems to be that this is the ultimate deviation from Derech HaTorah? This is the going off the Derech. Any Averis going off the Derech, talk about the big Averis, talk about three Averis Chamuris. Avodah Zorah, Shvichas Tomim, it's also off the Derech. Why is it over here that this woman in particular is called a Saita? That she has deviated, the deviation. The Sfon says three words. Sister B'Derech HaTznius. What she deviated from Derech HaTznius. What's Pshat? The Pshat is like this, and the Baal HaMus will speak about this in length. Recently it's become clearer, but if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there are halachas that dictate how a person should behave from the day, from the moment they wake up in the morning. Moida'ani, Iskabe Ka'ari, you wash your hands, the way you get dressed, the way you go to shul, the way you daven, the way you go to shul, the way you come back from shul, the way you eat, the way you bench. There's Derech, there's Shabbos, there's Yom Tov, there's things that are very clear. One thing you'll not find clearly in Shulchan Aruch is all the ins and outs of halachas of Tznius. Of course, there are halachas of Tznius, ben Olmah, ben Ishtri, Ishtri. There are halachas. But the very, and there are halachas in dealing with how one should get dressed, etc. But the Derech that a person has interpersonal relationships with other people is very little that is stated in halacha. And in certain places, what is accepted is in other places a complete breach of Tznius. And what other places be a complete breach of Tznius, in other places are totally accepted, and it's correct. I'll give an example. I was once standing in Gateshead, in a shop, in a bakery shop there, and there was a very choshev Rosh Hashiva, came from America, came to Gateshead for a few days, and the Geordie, the North England shiksa behind the counter, said to him, "All right, love, anything else I can do for you today?" Right? Alright, me love. That's right. Alright, me love. Alright, my love. Anything else? He mummish, I'm telling you, his hat almost fell off. I'm not joking. The colour drained from his face. You know, to call somebody my love. Yeah? By Litvax. You know, if you call the Torah, Avosi, I'm Sam. Anything else? But for a complete stranger, alright, me love. You know, he mummish. But I've been used to it. You know, everyone who comes at the gates, so goes into a thing, it's like, "Good morning, sir." That's the way you speak. For him, it was a complete breakdown of every moral relationship. You don't say such a thing. It depends what you're used to. It depends where you come from. To say good morning to a neighbour, in some places, is poshut derech eretz. A neighbour's coming out the house, and you don't say good morning to them, it's poshut derech eretz. We're talking about a female neighbour. It's poshut a lack of derech eretz. You don't ignore them. They're your neighbour. In other places, if you say good morning to a neighbour, that's it. Your kids will be out of cheder, you'll be out of the base of medrash, you know, you can forget about shidduchim, that's it, it's all over. And so which one's right? Which one's right? Is it correct to say good morning or not correct to say good morning? The answer is, it depends where you are, it depends who you are. It could be a rav of a shul can say good morning to the women in his kehillah, but a man who's not a rav should not say good morning to the women outside shul. It depends who you are, when you are, and it's very, very difficult to define and say this is right and this is wrong. It is something that is a sensitive, in Yiddish call it daher, it's a sensitive gefil, it's a sensitive feeling of what is considered correct and what isn't correct. In different societies, for the men and women to be a kiddish and shmooze to each other, is more accepted than other places. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not going into, but there's a certain element of lester maderach, to go after derech. To speak on a mobile phone in the street, for a man, may be wrong. But for a woman, to speak on a mobile phone in the street, maybe it's wrong. Is there any halacha that says it's wrong? So you're going to get rabbonim, yes, writing letters, not writing letters, on the speaking on a mobile phone on the bus. Certain times it's perfectly, it's a normal thing to do. Some people are talking louder. At what level is that considered no longer tznius? That people can hear? It depends what you're talking about. Therefore, there's so many dakid dakas of halachas, it's so difficult to define, that it's almost impossible to get it clear, unless a person is a Yirei Shamayim who actually works on himself Yom HaLayla, unless a person has a Torah Digger understanding of what is expected from him, it's very, very difficult to define. Listo min aderech, to deviate from the path when it comes to tznius, is ultimately something that is extremely easy to do, and the disastrous effects of that, there's no end to this. There's no end to the results. The marriages break up, families break up by a relationship that got perhaps a little bit too friendly. Yeah? There's a certain element of defining what is right and what is wrong, and that takes a person's very, very fine sensitivity to understand that. But the disastrous results of what can happen at the end is what happens, Rahman al-Itslan, where we see today that marriages are falling apart because of some kind of relationship over the internet, some kind of Facebook friendship. And that's what can happen. A little bit friend here and there, that's things fall apart. And that is listo, particularly in tznius, particularly in these issues, the deviation from the path is the most dangerous, and it's the most sensitive to detect exactly what it is. And this is why we've got to be so careful. The Ksav Sefer says, why is it called a shtus? Why is it called nichnas boi ruach shtus? In fact, the Chayim Savova says that a person is naturally drawn towards taiva. A person's body is made out of adomo, is made out of earth, as it were, and therefore a person is naturally drawn towards taiva. If a person is naturally drawn towards taiva, why is it that when it comes to a taiva, which is such a animalistic taiva, why can a person be blamed, and why is it called a shaiter? Why is it called a person called an idiot? He's born that way. It's a natural instinct, it's a natural desire, it's a natural pull. Why is a person a shaiter? So Ksav Sefer says like this. He said, for a person to be pulled towards taivas is something that one has to work on one's whole life. But there's certain taivas, there's a certain element where it already begins to the levels of insane. There is already a meshugas, it is already crazy. And this is what the parasha is talking about. Here we're talking about a woman who's in a marriage. She's in a marriage that her husband cares about the marriage, to the extent that he's willing to do anything necessary to ensure the marriage continues. He's not exempt from all problems, we'll see in a minute. But that's what we're talking about. For a woman to deviate... For a woman to deviate from that marriage and to go along and to look for an outlet which is beyond what she is receiving within that scope is already mishagas. That is beyond normality. That is a shtus. That's nichnas by ruach shtus. A person has to understand that the Yetzer Hara is able to fantasize. The Yetzer Hara is able to bring in the excitement, as it were, the danger of all the shtus that's happening around the world. That is what he sells as something that is desirable, and that is shtus. That is ridiculous. That is something that has no excuse for. That is no excuse for. That is shtus. When a person talks about no, but there's extra excitement, that is shtus. That is fantasy. That is wrappings of the Yetzer Hara. That is completely awesome. There's nothing. It's not even talking about that. That is shtus. That's what the Ksav Sefer says over here. So let's go through the parasha. Let's understand a little bit about the relationship here of the Ish Ve'Isha. There's a very, very sharp avot here. Very, very difficult to understand. But it's something which is extremely, extremely important to come to terms with. Dabe el b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ish ish ki siste ishtoi. Speak to Klal Yisrael and say to them, ish ish. What's this ish ish? Why does it say twice ish ish? Ish ish means every man. It doesn't fit into this concept. What's the ish ish over here? Says a medrash, ish ish. Lamedcho ischa Torah. Torah is teaching us. Shetehei vatrim etoich beischo. That a person should be a vatran, a person should be easygoing in his home. What's Peshat? A person should be easygoing, therefore, if his wife is suspected of doing something wrong, he just let it go, live and let live. What's Peshat over here? says the Siddur Balei Musar, the Chofetz Chaim talks about, the Balei Musar talk about this, and they say as follows: Ish Ish is the background to why you can expect, Rachmana Litzlan, a marriage to fall apart. What's very clear is, and you have to stress this, there is never, ever, ever an excuse for a person to do anything, any Avera, that is Chas V'Shalom the Torah considers an Avera. There's never an excuse. And one can never say, listen, it's not my fault, and blame it on somebody else. That is not Torah. That's Freud. That is not Torah. Torah is about taking responsibilities for your action and knowing that ultimately the buck stops here. I am responsible for my actions. And if a isha does iznus, if a isha does do something that is not sanua, you cannot put the blame on somebody else and say it wasn't my fault, it's his fault. You cannot do that. She is to blame, she's responsible. However, over and above that, there is nothing that happens within a vacuum. It does not happen that an isha should have a desire to stray from a marriage if she's happily married. That is not a derech of an isha. That is not the derech. A woman naturally has a desire to be loyal. A woman naturally has a desire to hold fort, to hold her home, to keep the family together. What is it? How could it be that a woman did what she did? Says the Medrash, ish ish. The problem was, he was too much of an ish. What does that mean? He may have been overpowering, overburdening, too makbid. If a man is too makbid, if a man is putting stress on the family in a way that is counterproductive, he is not doing himself any favor. He could actually be chasing his wife out of the marriage. He could be chasing his wife into, lack of better words, in somebody else's arms. That is the ish ish. Ish ish kisiste ishtoi. If a man is an ish ish, he's a man, I'm going to, what I mean, law is law, right is right. That's an ish ish, that is something that can absolutely destroy a marriage. And you know what? Sometimes he's correct. Sometimes marriage, he does have rights. Sometimes there is expected. One does expect the wife to act in a certain way. One does expect the house to be clean. One does expect to have certain comforts of a husband. Maybe. It's my right, it's my prerogative. I deserve. Yes, you deserve. There's no doubt. But if you stick to your ish-ish, if you stick to what you deserve, I am the man, I deserve, then it's going to be kisiste ishtoi. One can reach a stage where, Rachmana Litzlan, the wife will not feel comfortable. One can bring eimei yiseir b'toich beisoi. A person can bring too much fear in the home, and one can chas v'sholem bring down the whole house of cards. That is ish-ish. Ish-ish kisiste ishtoi. And this is the same all the way through. Rachmana Litzlan, this is the same. You get some fathers who are very, very strict. And the fathers believe that the only way to hold, a Shabbos table is to make sure all the children are sitting by the Shabbos table and with their hands folded and they're listening. You have to know that sometimes one has to be strict, one has to show authority. But chas v'chalila, to be the ish-ish at home, to be the tough guy who doesn't listen to the needs of the family, who sticks to his rights, and he's the bala boss, and everyone's got to fit into his line. For a dictator does not make a good husband. It doesn't do it. And ish-ish is the understanding of how far that can go. What's the opposite to ish-ish? The opposite to ish-ish is to be flexible, to understand and to appreciate that in marriage one has to be open to sometimes deviating from your rights, and sometimes, it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even to certain times deviating from the path we are used to. For example, the whole parasha of Saita is a fascinating parasha that connects itself to something that is absolutely osur chola Torah kula. What is that? It's taking the Shem Hashem. You write the Shem Hashem down, the parasha of Saita, you take the Shem Hashem, and you erase the Shem Hashem. You take the most choshuva element of Yirei Shemayim. You take what we believe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and we take it, and we rub out the Shem Hashem, we put it into water, and you drink the water. What bigger bizoyin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that? You must know that Seamus, how careful are we with Seamus? Something falls on the floor, you pick it up, you kiss it, you put it in Seamus. And here we take the Shem Hashem and we write it deliberately that it should be raised into water that she drinks. And who's this woman already? She deserves to have Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name is erased. Why? Because we need that for a nace. I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make a nace through something else. Don't do Shem Hashem. Do the parasha without saying Shem Hashem. Take the earth, the offered under the Mizbeach, and make a nest through that. Only that can make the nest. Only that can create the mitzias of a nace. Why is it that dafka that was used? I'm not sure who says this. My Rav Chaim Kaufman says often. He says the koyachus of this is to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to take his name and allow it to be scratched out in order for the sake of Shalom Bayis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing his name, his shame and mefayrish, his gevaldig, his koyach, his the shame of the most choshev name in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, for the sake of Shalom Bayis, do all it takes. Take my name and scratch it out. I want Shalom Bayis. I'm willing to forego of my kovod for the sake of Shalom Bayis. I'm willing to step back and allow my name to be erased for the sake of this marriage to continue b'shalom. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do that with his name, it's not his marriage. It's not his marriage. It's somebody else's marriage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to allow his name to be erased for the kovod, and allow his kovod to step back for the sake of Shalom Bayis. If chas v'chalila, somebody comes home and the food isn't ready on the table in time, what happens? Anger and the door slams. What's this all about? You're not allowing your kovod. Who are you already? For the sake of Shalom Bayis, step back. Allow your name to be erased for a moment. Who are you already? And this is the limit of the Seita. Seita is a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of Shalom Bayis is allowing his kovod to step back. Kal v'chomer, a person within their own marriage should step back and not be oimed out on the kovod and not be oimed on the kovod. That's ish-ish. Ish-ish is being inflexible. I'm the man. I deserve this. I deserve that. Yes. Ki sister ish. You know what's going to happen? You're going to bring down the marriage. You're going to destroy the marriage. Your wife is going to run away. It's her fault. And it's wrong. Correct. But the maisa is not in a vacuum. You are at fault as well. The opposite of that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu showing that I'm willing to allow my name to be erased for the sake of kovod. All my kovod. The Gemara talks about, the Medrash brings down over there, that there was a woman went to listen to a drosha by Rav Meir. And the time she came back on Friday night, the candles had gone out, and her husband was very, very annoyed with his wife, and very annoyed that Rav Meir made such a long drosha. So he said to his wife, I'm not allowing you back in this house until you go to Rav Meir and spit in his eye. Eliyahu Novi came to Rav Meir and told him, I'm just telling you that this marriage is dependent upon a woman spitting in your eye. You should just know, that's what I'm just briefing you beforehand, this is what is going on over here. This, a Meshugana! Rav Meir is covered up Torah, he should step back, this is a Meshugana! And what kind of marriage is it? Isn't that marriage somebody else? No, what happened? Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, that Rav Meir was sitting in base of Medrash learning, she met in the base of Medrash, and he was holding his eye. So she said, what's the matter? He said, oh, I've got this terrible pain in my eye, and I've learned that the only way to get rid of this is if somebody spits in your eye. And it must be very uncomfortable for you to do this, but I beg of you, please, for the sake of my health, please spit in my eye 7 times. So the woman says, oh, yeah. Please, I beg of you, please. No. Absolutely, I insist, please. So she spat in his eye 7 times, and oh, thank you very much, Shkoyach. And she went back and she told the house, not only to spin his eye 1 time, 7 times. Oh, gewaldig, you get a bouquet of roses, Shabbos, fantastic, fine. So the Talmidim said to Rameh, what's going on over here, Rameh? How can you do it? What cover that Torah? A woman to spit in the eye? What kind of mishugna is this? He expects such a thing, and for that kind of marriage, you're willing to forgo all cover that Torah. Says Rameh, what are you talking about? It's a kavod chomer. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is allowing his name to be erased for the sake of Shalom Bayis. I shouldn't allow me, Rameh, to allow it to be a little spittle in my eye for the sake of Shalom Bayis. This is the Parashel Seter. Parashel Seter is stepping back and not being the ish. There's a famous tshuva that somebody came once to Rabbi Yashiv and asked Rabbi Yashiv the following shaila. There's a gynecologist actually came to Rabbi Yashiv and said that he happens to know he's going to be at a Pidyon HaBen in a few days' time, and the woman is making a Pidyon HaBen, and he happens to know that this is not the first child of this woman. He happens to know it's not Peterechen, but the husband does not know. And if the husband would know that it's Peterechen, that it's not Peterechen, who knows what would happen to this marriage? So Shaila is now, what do you do? Are you allowed to go ahead and allow the brachas to be said when it's Shem Shemayim Levatola? Which Baruch Hu's name is being said with the whole concept of Baruch Atah Hashem Mekidim Alecha Olam Yisrael. All brachas being said this. So first idea came up, maybe you should just spread a rumor there's a Sofik Levi in the family. Now they came up, they found there's a Sofik Levi in the family, but so Rabbi Yashiv says, no, that's already, it gets too complicated. For sure, go ahead with this Pidyon HaBen, make the brachas, don't say a word. Also for you to say a word. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow his name to be erased for the sake of Shalom Bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could certainly allow his name to be said for the sake of Shalom Bayis. That's godless, right? There's another ish as well. One has to be aware of. Ish, as far as I know, it says B'Shem L'Chofetz Chaim, I didn't find it Chofetz Chaim on the Torah. Ish is a concept of, ish means being selfish. Ish, me. Ish. Yeah, and it's not referring to being ish, being the tyrant at home, being a dictator, being the big man. Yeah, ish means caring too much about your own needs, looking into yourself, not looking what the other person needs, not giving the other person the compliments, not giving the other person the attention, not focusing on the other person and giving them the respect and kavod that a man has to give his wife. And that's the ish, caring about the ish, not caring about anybody else, right? That is also kisisse ishtoi. Pesach Krohn once said, the difference between united and untied is where you put the eye. Therefore, if a person wants a united marriage, first wants to be together, that is a marriage where it's together with the ish v'isho, shchina shori b'neim. Rosh Hashanah Father Hirsch talks about this in many places. He says that if you look in the parasha, it's talk on yimol, it talks about loshon of me'ila, it loses loshon of me'ila. Me'ila is defining something that's kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch is within this marriage. Yeah, it's a lashon of Me'ila. Umar loy boy moal, possibly base. Umar loy boy moal, lashon Me'ila. And not only Me'ila, when there's any chashash, it's not also mutter to a husband. It's tohir and tomei. Tomei is concepts of kedusha, it's concepts of tahara, it's concepts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved over here. And therefore, what right does a person have not to include a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a marriage? When there's shchina shore, there's yud kei, there's an ish and an isha. And if not, there's an ish. You take the yud kei out of the marriage, it's ish is fire. And this is a concept of parashas to say. That's a Torah parashas seter. Number one is the idea of deviation from any level of tznius of kedusha has terrible ends, and the fine delicate tznius one has to have, even sometimes looks mugukach. It looks a bit over formal. It doesn't matter. You know, there's a rabbanon talk about it, calling a married woman, yeah, who's not part of the family circle, to call them by the first name on when you're working together with them. It's not, it's Mrs. this, it's Mr. that, it's Rabbi this. Yeah, even if it's a bit strange, call me X. No, you can't. You can't call me X. That is a seiter. That is deviating a slightest amount. Who knows where that will lead to? Normally, Baruch Hashem, 99.99999% of the case, it doesn't lead to anything. But one deviates a small amount, one has to know that Chas v'Chalila, there can be terrible consequences. The Shtus Shavoi, the fantasy, the ideas of that it's better out there. There isn't better out there. That is a shtus. The understanding that the woman is responsible for her actions. But the husband, if he treats the wife in the way that she should be treated, then marriage will be much stronger. There will be no need for any chashoshes chas v'shalom. If a man looks after the needs of other people in the house, rather than ish caring about himself, the same message. I want to end off with one thing. I want to end off with a vort that I heard from my mashkiach. With two backs from Gateshead. He says something very nice. He says, what happens in the end if everything was said and done, the woman actually did not do the Avera? Yeah, what happened if the woman actually did not do the Avera? And she was Tohir. She did not do the Avera. The Pasuk said, the Gemara says, that she'll have children easily, and she will, she'll go have a birth easy. If she didn't have children until then, she'll have children now. What's going on over here? We're not talking about a tzedekes. We're talking about a woman who went b'yichud. Her husband warned her, don't go b'yichud as this man, and all indications show that she misbehaved. It's clear. All indications show that she misbehaved, and the ma'aseh she didn't. Okay. So she deserves now schar. Is it Yisra Yichud? Yichud is a Yehorek Vali Avo. You know what's going to do Yisra Yichud? What kind of thing is it? She did Averus. She did things she should not have done. So why did she get such schar? Okay, she didn't happen to do the Avera of that, the ultimate Avera. But she, the whole lead up to that, or the lack of tznius, is a lack of her doing what she should be doing. She made her husband suspect her of doing Averus, and she actually did go be Yichud. So therefore, why did she get this schar later on? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael, this is a klal, unbelievable klal. The schar is for being involved in the chet. The schar is for reaching a stage where you actually have done wrong. You have deviated. You have gone to be yechidus. You have done something wrong. But you know what? You stop. I've done wrong. I'm where I am now. But that does not mean that is it. I cannot pull myself out anymore. Adkan. That's it. I've misbehaved until now, but that's it. I'm stepping out of here. I'm out. But come on, you've already gone so far, you might as well. No! There's no such thing. Im kvar as kvar is the biggest yetzirah. If already, you might as well. No, there's no such thing. I stop over here. A person get entrenched in a machlekus. A person have an argument with his chavrusa. And it's backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And all of a sudden it dawns on him, you know what, my chavrusa's right. But in his mind is a point of no return. In his mind, I've gone so far, if I back out now, it looks weak. It doesn't look weak. That is Gevura. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give schar to this woman who did something wrong. But you know what? Adkam. That's it. I'm stepping out. You're right. I just thought about it. You're absolutely correct. You're right. I misunderstood. You're correct. A fight between two people, two neighbors, and it escalates. And one says back, you know what? It's gone too far. You're right. I'm willing to stop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give nisim to these people who are willing to get involved in Avera and stop and move back and say, you know what? It's all over. I'm not carrying on with this anymore. The schar to this is unbelievable. A Shemona Esrei, a person having Shemona Esrei, and the Shemona does not go the way he planned. And he comes to Shema Kaleinu already and he's just floated all over the world. Comes to Shema Kaleinu, you know what? Waste of time. You know what? Mitzvah next fill out daven properly. No! Stop and start now! This man is not such a good man. You know what? I'll wait till Elul. No! Stop and start again! This is a koyach. It's a tremendous yetzahor. If I can get out of it, the schar to that is unbelievable. There's an incredible story I heard. There were two feuding families in Mishalayim. And this machlekes has been going on for absolutely years. And to an extent that the parents fought with each other, the children fought with each other, and it was absolutely terrible. And eventually one of the neighbors decided, Mishpachas Reuven decided, you know what, that's it. It's ridiculous, it's gone far too far. Enough. And she went to Mishpachas Shimon and made up with them. And the families reconciled and they made up shalom one with the other. And they said the only way to show that we actually have made up is if you invite each other to each other's simchas. The chasnush. Mishpachas Reuven's daughter got engaged. She invited Mishpachas Shimon, Mrs. Shimon, to come to the chasna. Mrs. Shimon said, you won't believe it, that night, I cannot possibly do it, my sister's getting married. I can't come. You can't. Finish. Nope. We are absolutely going to go for shalom. If you can't come, I'm cancelling the hall. Finished. I'm cancelling the hall. I'm going to make sure that Shalom is going to be to the extent that everyone knows we have Shalom. Just because we're fighting so long, we have to stop here. And they cancelled the hall and rebooked the date. Rabbi Isai, that night that the Chasam was supposed to be, but was cancelled, was a night that took place in a hall called Versailles. Versailles is a hall in Yerushalayim that the floor collapsed. And tens and tens of people were killed. Tens and tens of people killed. They were supposed to be having that chasna that night in Versailles. But because that she put her foot down for the sake of Shalom, and she was flexible, very flexible, for the sake of Shalom, between friends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved their families from a terrible Nisan Mashunah. If a person works for the sake of Shalom, a person's flexible within one's marriage, and one works, looks beyond oneself, beyond one's rights, but I deserve this, perhaps you do. Usually you don't, but perhaps you do. This will save the marriage. This will bring Kedusha to the marriage. This will bring what Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to do anything. Even his own kavod should be eradicated for the sake of kavod, for the sake of the marriage. Certainly, with a little, who are we already? A little bit of kavod of us, we don't get it. Certainly we should step back and build the home, which Kedusha v'Tahara, the Ish v'Isha, the Yud of the Ish, and the Hey of the Isha, together we should build a fantastic home of Ashur HaShchina Be'Mehir V'Meinu.